The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Allow me to read the words of God. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. Among the short stories by the great Russian writer Lev Tolstoy, there is one called The Repentant Sinner. It begins with verses 42 to 43 in today's passage. The thief's request to remember him when Jesus comes into his kingdom, and Jesus' words that the thief will be with him in paradise that day. A man who had been immersed in sin for 70 years of his life did not repent until the end, but at the last moment he shed tears and cried out, "Lord, please forgive me," just as you forgave the thief on the cross, and passed away. His soul arrived at the gates of heaven, and he knocked to be let in. At that time, someone's voice was heard from across the door. "Who is that? Who is it that knocks at the gates of heaven? What kind of life did you live while you were alive?" The man in charge of reporting in heaven answered, "He has done all kinds of evil, but he has never done any good." Then the voice said, "Sinners do not enter heaven. Go away," he said. Then the sinner said, "I hear your voice, but I do not see your face. I don't even know your name." Then a voice was heard from within, "I am the Apostle Peter." So the sinner said, "Apostle Peter, please have pity on me and remember God's mercy. Are you not a disciple of Christ? Have you not heard the words of the Lord and seen the life of the Lord?" Jesus was sad and in pain and asked you to stay awake and pray three times. But didn't you fall asleep all three times? Same goes for me. And you swore that you would be willing to die with the Lord, but didn't you deny the Lord three times and cry bitterly when the rooster crowed? I am the same. There was silence inside the door, and the sinner knocked again and begged to be admitted into heaven. Then another voice was heard, "Who is this person and what kind of life did he live?" The accuser said that although he had committed all sorts of evil deeds, he had never done any good deeds. Then the voice said, "Go away, sinners like this will not live with us in heaven." Then the sinner said, "I hear your voice, but I do not see your face. I don't even know your name." Then a voice came from within, "I am David, the king and the prophet." The sinner did not give up and spoke, "King David, have mercy on a weak human being like myself. God has sent you on high and given you everything, a kingdom, honor, wealth, wife, and children. But when you saw Uriah's wife on the rooftop, you gave into sin, took her, and killed her husband with the sword of the descendants of Ammon. Even though you were rich, you robbed the poor man and killed him. So did I. Do you remember that you repented that your sins were before you? So do I. So you cannot prevent me from entering heaven. There was silence across the door, and the sinner knocked again and begged to be admitted into heaven. Then another voice was heard. Who is this person and what kind of life did he live? The accuser said that, although he had committed all sorts of evil deeds, he had never done any good deeds. Then the voice said, go away, sinners like this will not enter heaven. Then the sinner said, I hear your voice, but I do not see your face. I don't even know your name. Then a voice was heard from within. I am the Apostle John, the beloved disciple of Christ. At this, the sinner was happy and said, now I can go in. Peter and David will let me in. They know of human weakness and God's mercy. And since you are so loving, you will let me in. Wasn't it the Apostle John who wrote that God is love, and that those who do not love do not know God? In your old age, you wrote, brothers, love one another, right? Is it possible for a person like that to hate me and drive me out? Either deny what you said or love me and let me enter heaven. At that time, the gates of heaven opened, and the Apostle John entered heaven embracing the repentant sinner. A person who lived his entire life sinning but repented and received salvation appears in today's passage. Three crosses stand side by side on Golgotha Hill. On the surface, there appears to be no difference among the three crosses. On each cross, each person has nails driven into their hands and feet, so the bleeding parts and their appearance would have been almost identical. However, on the cross of Jesus is a plaque that reads, King of the Jews. According to the Gospel of John, the plaque reads, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, which was written by and ordered to be posted by Governor Pilate himself. This is the crucial difference between Jesus and the two evildoers. If you look at pictures depicting the cross Jesus was hung on, there's a plaque with INRI written on top of the cross. They are the initials of the Latin words Jesus Nazareth Rex Judaeorum. Of course, the meaning is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Through what happened to Governor Pilate, a high-ranking official of the Roman Empire and the highest ruler of Judea, and through his thoughts, God announced to all nations that Jesus of Nazareth, who died on the cross, was the Savior who paid for the sins of all mankind. So Jesus' crucifixion had a totally different meaning from those of the two evildoers. There appears to be no difference between the crosses of the two evildoers standing on either side of Jesus' cross. There must have been plaques showing their sins on the crosses they were hanging on. Both would have had similar text written on them, such as heinous evildoer or an unforgivable robber. And when Jesus and the two evildoers were hung on the cross, people insulted Jesus, saying, "You destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross, if you are the Son of God." In addition, the high priest and other religious leaders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe." But the two evildoers were no different from those who insulted and mocked Jesus at the foot of the cross. This is Matthew chapter 27, verse 44. And the robbers who were crucified with him also cursed in the same way. The two evildoers also hurled insults at Jesus, just like the people beneath the cross. So there was no difference between the two evildoers. But as time passed, differences emerged. At the time, death row inmates on crosses hurled all kinds of insults and curses, and especially bragged about their own sins. People even considered it a spectacle to listen to this. But Jesus said no such things. In particular, despite the people's words and actions of mocking and insulting Jesus, he proclaimed forgiveness by saying, "Please forgive their sins." Seeing this, the attitude of the two evildoers were divided. One of the two said the following in verse 39. One of the two criminals who was hanged slandered him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." This man was no different from the people who mocked and insulted Jesus at the foot of the cross. In particular, to slander is the Greek word blasphemo, and its original meaning is to slander, insult, and prevent one from speaking. At the Feast of the Dedication, Jesus said to the Jews in Solomon's Columbarium in the temple, "I and God the Father are one." Then the Jews picked up stones and tried to strike Jesus. Jesus asked, "For I have done many good works through my Father and have shown you. But for which of these do you want to stone me?" Their answer at the time was as follows. The Jews answered, "We are not stoning you for good works, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, call yourself God." The Jews believed that Jesus from Nazareth, who seemed so insignificant, should be stoned to death because saying that he was equal to the Almighty God was tantamount to blasphemy. The word blasphemy here has the same meaning as the word slander mentioned by the evildoer. Then the other evildoer said, this is verse 40 to 41, "But the other criminal rebuked him, 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong.'" After Jesus ascended to heaven, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, who came on the day of the Pentecost. At the time when Apostle Peter told the Jews that God had made Jesus, whom they crucified and killed, both Lord and Christ, the Jews who heard this were pricked in their hearts and asked Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? At that time, Peter said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. That day, 3,000 people became new believers. In chapter 7 of Acts, there is Stephen's sermon. Seven people were selected to serve with the apostles in the Jerusalem church based on whether they were a person full of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, and whether they were praised. Stephen was that kind of person. He traced the entire history of the Old Testament era and preached about how God worked for the descendants of Israel. His sermon was not inferior in any way to Peter's sermon. If so, it seems people should have asked in front of Stephen, What should we do? But the people reacted in the following way at the time. This is Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. The Jews shut their ears, dragged Stephen out of the city, and stoned him to death. Both Peter and Stephen were filled with the Holy Spirit and preached, and although people were pricked in their hearts after hearing their sermons, the reactions after that were completely the opposite. There is no other explanation than that it was because God gave grace to those who heard Peter's sermon. The two evildoers on the cross were crucified for the same reason. They were hanging on the cross in the same form. And both saw the way people treated Jesus and how Jesus treated them. But their reaction was different. The second evildoer accepted God's grace that came to him. In particular, the second evildoer rebuked the first one. The verb rebuke is epitimao in Greek. Jesus asked his disciples in Caesarea Philippi, Who do people say I am? And later asked, Who do you say I am? After hearing Peter's answer, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said that he would undergo much suffering, be rejected by the religious leaders, and be put to death. He said that he would be resurrected on the third day. If the disciples believed that Jesus was Christ, they of course had to believe in Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. But then Peter protested to Jesus. The words rebuke and repudiation spoken by the evildoer are the same word, epitamao. The word comes from to fix the value. In other words, Peter was saying, Why do you act worthless and why do you want to die needlessly? It means, Don't bother. That is why the second evildoer scolded the first evildoer, saying, You're just spewing out meaningless words. It would be much better just to keep your mouth shut. Also, the second evildoer said to the first, We are being punished as we deserve, for what we have done is due. In other words, he was fully aware that he was a sinner. In particular, the Greek adjective corresponding to considerable retribution is axios, and the literal meaning of this word is weigh, value, and to be fit. In other words, after weighing and assessing their lives so far, they found that it was only fitting that they die on a cross. The second evildoer listened to everything Jesus said for several hours, and he also faced his own reality. So he had no choice but to confess the following. This is verse 42. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Kingdom in your kingdom refers to a kingdom ruled by a king. In other words, this evildoer recognized Jesus as the ruler of the eternal kingdom of God, as written on Jesus' plaque, and acknowledges him as his savior. When God remembers, this leads to salvation. God remembered the descendants of Israel who were slaves in Egypt, which led to Exodus. All of God's people in the Bible can be said to be people whom God remembered. To this second evildoer, Jesus said, this is verse 43, Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus remembering the evildoer led to his salvation. Today is New Year Sunday. As I said during the New Year's midnight service, our church's motto for this year is "Open the windows" from Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. At the end of his life, the second evildoer opened a window to the Lord and found salvation. When Daniel was a teenager, he was taken hostage to Babylon, where he lived for more than 70 years until his death. It is notable that Daniel maintained his position despite the changes in rulers over many years. The subjects of the Babylonian Empire searched and searched for grounds to accuse Daniel in order to frame him and bring him down, but they could not find any fault. They realized that the only way to destroy Daniel was to distort his relationship with God he faithfully served. So the prime ministers and dignitaries went to the king and advised, "For the next 30 days, if anyone asks anything from a god or person other than the king, please have him put in the lion's den." And they received the seal. Nevertheless, Daniel did the following. This is Daniel 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel, who knew that the king's seal was stamped on the decree, also knew in detail what the consequences would be if he violated the order. Nevertheless, when Daniel returned home, he went to the upper room and opened the window facing Jerusalem, which was the direction in which his home country was located, and the direction where the temple was located. Although Daniel lived in a foreign land and among foreigners, he lived with God as his purpose and walked with God. Doesn't this make you wonder why Daniel didn't choose to just skip 30 days of prayer or go to a basement where there were no windows to pray instead? God would have known Daniel was praying even in the basement. We do not know why Daniel did not do so, but it was a long-standing prayer habit for him to open the window facing Jerusalem and pray. When he was first captured, he made up his mind and decided not to defile himself with the king's food or the king's wine, so he didn't eat this. He was a man who always prayed whether there was a lion's den or not. Daniel prayed while kneeling instead of standing and raising his hands, as was the Jewish tradition. This was an act of total trust in God and a confession of relying only on God's help. And most importantly, Daniel not only lived a life of obedience to God, but he also gave thanks to God even in such situations. That gratitude would not have been gratitude not to be thrown into the lion's den. Also, it would not have been gratitude for being saved, even if he was thrown into the lion's den. It would have been gratitude for God's grace, for protecting him and working through him, and extending his hand of providence in all the parts of his life over 60 years, even if he would be thrown into the lion's den and become food for the lion. Daniel always obeyed in the circumstances given to him and gave thanks to God. And God used Daniel as a channel for his work. I've said this a few times, but the most important thing in our faith is the cross of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ on the cross. Without the cross and Jesus Christ, there is no salvation for us. The book of Revelation emphasizes the kingdom of God and God and Jesus Christ who receive praise. However, Jesus Christ, who is worthy of praise, is not called the resurrected Lamb, but the Lamb that was slain. So, the most important event until Jesus comes again is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. God's love, of course, is also deeply related to the cross. This is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In Buddhism, it makes no difference if Buddha and Sakyamuni is omitted. This is because an enlightened person is called Buddha. However, nothing is left if Jesus Christ and the cross are removed from Christianity. Also, the most important thing in our walks of faith, that is, what allows us to continue our walks of faith properly, is not losing spiritual vigilance and keeping awake. If we lose this spiritual vigilance, we will likely become Sunday Christians. Furthermore, it can be said that the most important attitude we must have in our walks of faith is to be grateful and to obey. Being thankful or grateful does not mean literally saying thank you, God, all the time, or giving offerings of gratitude often. Also, obeying does not simply mean answering yes to whatever the church asks, or unconditionally serving, even if it is something you cannot do or do not want to do. Gratitude and obedience means accepting your current position and situation of life as it is. So it means living by faith with the Lord as your purpose in life. This is because the position we are in now in life is the result of our past life and also where God has brought us. What is important is that God uses people that give thanks and obey as channels to carry out his work, renew the world, and change the world. Daniel, who was taken hostage to Babylon in his youth, was not in a situation where he could be obedient or grateful. Nevertheless, God used Daniel, who always opened a window toward God and lived a life of obedience and gratitude, as his channel. God, through King Cyrus, issued an edict to the captured Jewish people to return to their homeland and rebuild the temple. At the time, slaves were like living machines that created the wealth of a nation. So issuing an edict of return was impossible, but this happened. It goes without saying that Daniel played a significant role in this. Daniel, who opened the window and communicated with God with gratitude and obedience. A person who opens a window toward God builds their life with gratitude and obedience. Also, people who have gratitude and obedience in their lives open a window toward God. People who open a window to the world or to their own desires cannot weave their lives with gratitude and obedience, nor can they be used as a channel of God's work. Only for those who open their windows toward God, 2024 will be woven into a new year every day by the grace of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there seemed to be no difference between the two evildoers who were crucified with Jesus. Their lives until they were crucified were no different. In the places where the nails were driven into and the sight of blood shed when they were crucified were also similar. Both also saw the words and actions of Jesus while he was hanging on the cross. However, their lives after death were completely different depending on who they knew Jesus was and whom they confessed him as. In the last moments of his life, the second evildoer opened a window toward the Lord and his kingdom. This determined his eternity. Please help us resemble this attitude which made him open a window to the Lord even at his last moment. We thank you for giving our church the motto, Open the Window, this year. Relying on these words, please help us, like Daniel, open a window toward God every day, communicate and have fellowship with God with gratitude and obedience, and live as channels of God. Especially this year, please help us live as God's channels and as God's hands and feet in the places where God has placed us, which span the spheres of politics, economy, education, culture, defense, diplomacy, and welfare. Above all, please help the churches in Korea and each of us As churches become true churches, please make each day of 2024 a new day and new year for us who have opened our windows to God. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.